This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call. My name is Sheva Kaur, and I'm the CEO of a company called Fiera, which I can't say without putting an exclamation at the end of it because it just makes me smile. Fiera partly makes me happy because of what it means, and it partly makes me happy just even that I was able to find the word. It was a desire of mine, and I think when we have deep, deep desires that are fulfilled, it brings us a quality and caliber of joy that is Fiera. Mm. I was sitting on a beach in Santa Monica and wanted a language to describe the feeling that I was feeling in my heart, a sense of joy and peace and exuberant hope and vitality and connection to all that is, with an inner quality of knowing without necessarily knowing how I knew certain things, just knowing inside, and a feeling of just rightness about my life and the world. And that feeling, I felt like there was no word in the English language that could capture it, and it took me several years before I was at a gaming industry conference where I was talking about the power of the heart and how it can be monitored in video games to create video games that are about positive state creation rather than killing. Mm. And a woman that was speaking at that conference talked about these sort of criteria for video games to go to market. And one of the criteria was something called the Fiero Index, and Fiero is an Italian word that means when you've been trying and trying and trying to get something and finally, yes, your arms go up over your head and a yes flies out of your mouth. And I went, yes, when she said that. I was like, that's it. That's the word I've been looking for. And so, needless to say, the word Fiero has been taken as a URL and as a trademark for Pontiac cars. So it was just as well because I got to invent my own word that is now a universal word for that great feeling in your heart. Mm-hmm. And often on the Heart Start calls, we talk about how Fiera has been proven through the research at a wonderful little research institute, not so little anymore, in Northern California called HeartMath, to benefit our physical well-being, our health, our vitality, reverse aging, and prevent or slow the opportunistic degenerative diseases of our modern culture like cancer, diabetes, heart disease, depression, anxiety, the sort of casualties of our collective stress. Fiera is an antidote to that, not just in terms of how we feel, but literally in terms of how healthy our bodies are. So tonight is a unique Heart Start call because I wanted to address how Fiera can play a role in our lives when health is no longer at our disposal, when health is no longer an option, when we or someone we love is meeting the moment of death, whether it's at their actual deathbed or whether someone has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Obviously, some people can live for quite some time with a diagnosis, and how they live with that diagnosis, in other words, how we choose to die, how we live while we're dying, because the truth is all of us are dying from the moment we're born. And so the opportunity is to be living until we die rather than dead until we die. And Fiera is a true portal, as is the power of the heart to access Fiera to make that real. And so through some personal stories and some clients of mine, on this day, Canadian Thanksgiving 2007, this was the topic chosen for tonight by special request from a member of our Fiera family who has a family member who has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And I thought it was such a true heart opportunity to really bring more heart to everyone who joins these Heart Start calls. we began these Heartstart calls as a gift back to our community. A thank you to all of you for supporting us and our work in the world, a way to create a kind of oasis of positivity at the beginning of every week that people could tap into at no charge, just to receive the benefit and inspiration of the power and potential of the heart. So that's what we do here at Sierra, by the way. We really introduce people to the power and intelligence of the heart as discovered by the heart math science. And we give individuals as well as healthcare providers and organizations a scientifically proven roadmap to get to the great feeling we're calling Sierra and receive all its benefits to their health, their performance, and above all, their aliveness. Sustaining that no matter what's going on around them through the power of the heart. So people come to us from all different walks of life and bringing all different types of stressors, including health challenges. Obviously, tonight we're speaking directly to those health challenges where it appears that there's no solution, that the situation cannot be overcome. People who are dealing with chronic pain, and that's also sometimes people dealing with those types of health challenges, or those who have relationship struggles, money issues, eating disorders, career transitions, addiction, anxiety, depression. We also work with people who are looking to get the edge in their performance or maximize their time. People like Olympic athletes or those that I'm speaking to tonight on a television show who wish to live in greater and greater joy. Entrepreneurs, executives, high-level performers in a variety of industries. Wherever you're coming from and whatever brings you to the call tonight, I just want you to know that you're welcome. And you may be listening to this in the middle of the day. This call is being recorded, so some of you will be listening to this as a downloaded recording. If you're live on the call, I encourage you to tell your own stories, ask questions. You can press *6 to mute yourself while I'm speaking, and then *6 again if there's something that you want to share or add. And for those of you who are listening to this as a recorded call, I also welcome and encourage your questions and your personal stories, and those you can share with me by calling us directly here at Sierra, which is 310-581-1507, or you can email me directly, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Sierra, F like fantastic, Y, E, RA.com. So this is really for you, and if you have questions, I encourage you to ask them. It's interesting. When we start out the beginner heart math workshops, which we teach here at Sierra, often what I have people do is point to themselves. And for those listening, I'm sure you're not pointing to your baby toe or your kneecap. Intuitively, across every culture and in every age group, when I ask people to point to themselves, the place that they point is always in the center of their chest, to the area around the heart. This is for you, for who you really are, which intuitively we know has something to do with the heart. The heart is the first organ to form in the fetus. It's where we start, which is one of the reasons I call these calls Heart Start calls. The heart is where we start, and it's where we can come back to get a fresh start every day, every moment. Even as we're dying, the heart can be a fresh start in each new now that can give us a breath of appreciation for what's here right now. And knowing that people are joining these calls from all over the world and many time zones and coming from different things, I like to start in the heart where we can all just come and be here now together from wherever we've come from. So let's just take a moment and focus attention in the area around the heart. Letting the breath come in and out while you maintain the focus of your attention on the area around your heart. And just become aware of what's here right now. And as you become aware of what's here right now, become aware of what's right here now. What do you appreciate about just this moment? I was mentioning to the early birds on the call that I've been on call myself for a television interview for the last, must be or something now, and still haven't been called up to bat. And so I was starting to get a little fatigued and thinking of the myriad of things I could have done in my office all day if I had known that it was going to take this long and all the standard human things that people think. And thankfully, I was preparing to give this Heart Start call. So I came outside and sat down by this beautiful pond outside where we're shooting the show and was able to just come right here, right now, and discover every new now has something just right about it. So I started just appreciating the very gentle breeze on my face and how lovely the air is here right now. What's right now where you are? And just breathe a gentle appreciation for that. I have had the tremendous privilege in this lifetime of being with several people while they were dying and died, and coaching several people through their death process. And I always felt, as I coached people through their dying process, that they were more my teachers than the other way around. We gather so much momentum in this life towards our things to do lists and our ambitions, our goals, our dissatisfactions and our not enoughs, our lacks, and if only things were this way, and one day when I have that or that or that, or when I'm this or that or the other, once I get my degree, once I have kids, once my kids grow up, once I have more money in the bank, once this, once that, once I have a house, once I sell my house, then I'll be fulfilled. When you're in the presence of someone with a terminal illness, there's an incredible support in that to let all that stress, that all the story of who we are fall away, and the truth of who we are in the heart take center stage for a change. And in the absence of the momentum of our linear story about ourselves and who we could be if only if, suddenly who we are, our true essence, is allowed to shine through. Well, of course, it's possible for our true essence to shine through every day of our lives, whether we're in immediate threat of death or not. The truth is, we all are all the time. We take it for granted that we'll wake up tomorrow, and it sounds morbid to consider that, you know, someone with a terminal illness like AIDS 20 years, and we may not make it to see the sunlight tomorrow because of any number of things. When we really tell the truth about that, there's liberation in it because it frees us to drop this story of accomplishment and continuity and linear time and receive the gift of just this moment right now. Well, I've found that the HeartMath tools, and in particular, the M-Wave technology, which we go into in the beginner class, and you can also just purchase the M-Wave technology on our website, Sierra.com, which feeds back to you your heart rhythm in real time. It turns out that when we're appreciating the moment, when we're in touch with our true core essence, when we are in the aliveness of what's right now, it creates this uniquely ordered signature in the heart rhythm. This is a key piece of heart math research. They discovered that when we're in a state of appreciation or caring, that appreciation, care, love, positive emotional states that we associate with those feelings create order in the heart rhythm, which changes the way our brain works. So when we appreciate what's right now, the higher centers of the brain open, the higher perceptual centers function in congruence with one another, and we literally see more clearly, more accurately, what is right now. And that opens up more to appreciate. Just like stocks, when they appreciate, increase in value, we, when we appreciate, increase the value both of our experience and of the world around us, because we're literally, with our very brain senses and experience, taking in more of it. Very interesting. A study was done on healthcare providers. Speaking of caring, right? We said care is an access code to this order in the heart and an opening of the higher perceptual centers to enjoy the moment even more. And that's the challenge that terminal illness presents, offers, and gives us, is to maximize every moment we have. Well, we could do that in our lives anyway, but it turns out that being in the presence of people with terminal illness teaches us to do that more. They looked in this study with healthcare providers at who burned out the quickest. And the people conducting the study assumed it was going to be hospice workers. Hospice workers are those who work with people who are dying and have terminal illnesses. And they assumed that hospice workers would be the most stressed out of all the healthcare providers because their clients, would keep losing their clients. Their clients would keep dying. They were shocked at the results of this study. It turned out that hospice workers were the least stressed of all healthcare providers because they weren't engaged in the struggle of wishing that life were another way. And so they were free to just genuinely pour care onto their patients and love and appreciate their patients for who they were. Similarly, when people are dying, often in those moments is when they're able to find forgiveness for people they feel have wronged them, or forgiveness for themselves, when they're able to look back on their lives and see them with greater perspective, because they're not caught up in the rat race. Well, we have the opportunity right now to stop in the heart, which allows us to get a heart start, a clean slate. You could imagine, and I used to do this to access the heart, what if I only had a week left to live? Would I really still hold on to that resentment? Is that how I would spend my last week of life? Towards that person that wronged me when I was in the second grade. I remember I was working at a conference in upstate New York, and I woke up in the middle of the night from a nightmare that I was on my deathbed in this nightmare, dying of cancer. And I woke up in the middle of the night with this dream so vividly real to me, and I immediately started using the heart math tools that I teach in the beginner workshop and that I was working with at this conference in upstate New York. Just woke up in a cold sweat, a panic, and a terror, really thinking I was dying. And so I used neutral and quick coherence, the tools that we teach in the beginner workshop, to go to my heart and the guidance that I received from my heart. There's an intelligence, by the way, a brain that has been discovered in the heart that literally guides us, talks to us, takes us like a GPS in our car on the journey to the destination that we will bring us the most fulfillment in life if we listen to it. Well, in that moment, the GPS in my heart told me to get out of bed in my pajamas and walk outside and feel tree bark, because it was so real to me that I was dying. And I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever felt tree bark, and I want to feel tree bark before I die. And so I walked outside in the full moonlight across campus of trees, and I approached a tree and I put my hand up to the tree bark, and tears started streaming down my face as I realized there were so many things in this life I had never touched, never tasted, never fully been present to, because I was so busy getting where I was going and not allowing myself to drop into the heart and just appreciate what's already right here now. In the face of death, I found through the heart math tools a place in my heart that deepened my experience of this moment, and I realized all the wealth I'd ever craved in my bank account was right here in nature, waiting to talk to me, fulfill me, give to me. So as I put my hands on this tree, I jumped back in simultaneous horror and laughter and love, because crawling up this tree were the biggest ants I have ever seen in my life, and they started biting my hand, and it was the first time in my life that I ever loved my own fear, because in that state of heart, everything to me was delicious. Everything was something to appreciate. Even my own fear, because it became clear to me that when I died, I wouldn't feel fear anymore. And so everything was like this precious gift of experience to delight in. So I was experiencing fear and delight at the same time. The power of the heart allows us to find appreciation in everything that comes our way. Not as a sugar coating on top of something rotten, but as a true essence level connection to something. Heart intelligence, by its very nature, recognizes the value of all things, even death and dying. I mentioned in the invitation to this call that I spent the first 25 years of my life running around looking for the complaint box of the divine, because this whole death impermanence thing was just really not okay with me by any stretch of the imagination. When I was 7, my best friend was murdered, and that same month my grandfather died of leukemia. My grandmother was dying of Alzheimer's, and my father's colleague died of a heart attack, and it suddenly became crystal clear to me that we don't last forever, and I was incensed. It made no sense to me, and I became terrified to live. I wouldn't go to amusement parks because I was afraid the roller coaster would pop off its tracks and smash me. I wouldn't go to summer camp because there was Skylab orbiting the Earth at the time, and I was terrified that it was going to come crashing out of its orbit onto my tent. I wouldn't light matches because I was afraid of the fire. I was afraid of my own life fire, and I shut myself down. When I was 25, I found heart math, and I realized that we can die to life in our fear of death. And literally, HeartMath research has been able to show that that constant chronic fear that I was in, ironically, was the very thing that was charting me on a course to an early death, not just in terms of my lack of appreciation for and access to life, but even physiologically. The stress hormones, high levels of cortisol that fear was producing, are present in excess levels in all of the modern diseases, the top killers like diabetes, heart disease, cancer. HeartMath taught me to reduce my cortisol, to increase my DHEA, to give me a longer life. And in patients like AIDS patients, there was a study that was done in HeartMath on the AIDS patients and their T-cell counts, because we've also found that being in that Fiera state, appreciating the moment, creating the ordered rhythm in the heart that brings, also benefits the immune system. Elevated the T-cells in those AIDS patients, so it did enhance their health, even if it couldn't end their illness, and enhance their life so they could live longer and have more life in the life they lived. How does it do that? Well, that ordered heart rhythm when I was 25 started started opening my mind, because literally living in fear all that time of death, when we're in a state of fear, when we're in a state of terror. Remember, I was standing in front of the tree appreciating my terror of the ants, appreciating fear, because fear is not something to fear. It's part of our intelligence. Our fear of death is part of what keeps us alive. It keeps us avoiding buses when they're about to hit us, or from diving into a swimming pool when there's no water in it, running from tigers when they're chasing us. But here's the interesting dilemma. Even a terminal illness is not an immediate life threat. So when we respond to a terminal illness with fear, it increases stress hormone levels that are designed to help us if a tiger's chasing us and bites us. Things that cortisol does, for example, increasing fat around waist, hips, and thighs, or increasing blood clotting, for example. Elevated cortisol increases blood clotting, which is a great thing if a tiger's chasing you and bites you, because then you won't bleed to death. But let's say that you are struggling with a cancerous tumor you're trying to reduce in size. Well, you want to increase your blood circulation in some of those situations. I can't speak to all of them. But certainly, let's say you've been diagnosed with coronary artery disease that's inoperable. What we want to do is get the blood circulating there, not increase its clotting. So the fear of an illness actually compromises our ability to heal within it and live fully with it while we can.
Hello? Could the dog barking person please mute?
Unfortunately, that's me, and there's nothing
that I can do
about it.
Okay, I'm very sorry. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for letting me know. I'm really sorry that you guys can hear that.
I thought it might bother the tape, too, so that's what, okay.
Sure it will. I'm kind of in a situation here being on this television shoot where this is the one spot that I can be in.
Okay, sorry.
But let me just see if I can move. Thanks for letting me know. Is that Becky?
Yes.
Let's just see if I can find another
place. I don't know if it's distracting anybody else, but I knew it would be on the tape, and I thought that might bother you too.
Yeah, thank you for letting me know. Let me just see if I can find another place in this little estate. Is this better here?
I believe so.
Okay. Thanks, Becky.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Maybe you can help me remember where I was.
I'm so sorry. It was so distracting. I was having a lot
of
trouble.
Yeah, no, I'm very glad.
Maybe someone else can tell you that. Can someone else?
So there's a great example, right? You know, some things in life we can adjust and change. And the heart allows us to recognize that and respond to it. You just did, Becky. And then some things in life we can't change, but we can still respond to them with the heart. So when you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, it certainly seems like that can't be changed. I have worked with people who've turned their illnesses around. And so staying neutral about that, and neutral is the first tool we teach in the beginner workshop, staying neutral with a diagnosis when you receive it is essential, because I have yet to meet a doctor who's God who really knows anyone's prognosis. They can give their best estimate on things based on their education and what they know. But as Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And I have met people at death's door who have been able to turn their illnesses around. That, to me, is a mystery. And yet staying neutral inside of a terminal diagnosis and continuing to appreciate what's right now, we know boosts immune function, enhances health, nervous system function, DHEA, which is an anti-aging hormone, So maybe that can play a factor in at the very least helping people to feel better for the life that they have. I mentioned not only the HeartMath AIDS study in which people practicing HeartMath boosted their T cells, but I also had the privilege of working with Patrick, one of my first Sierra clients, who had been living with AIDS, and living is the right word for it. He lived full out with his AIDS so vibrantly that most people didn't even know that he had AIDS. He was full of light, full of vitality, so appreciative of everyone he met and every circumstance he walked into that he just didn't seem sick, and people in his presence felt their value more. Well, Patrick, I believe, broke records in enrolling people in a leadership program here in Los Angeles, even while he was sick, because he was so passionate to be of service in the time he had left. When Patrick was dying on his bed and couldn't get out of bed, he would just get exhilarated if someone would bring him a photograph of nature or a stuffed animal. He, to the last breath, did not stop squeezing every ounce of appreciation out of every moment. You see, we think fulfillment is going to come in life from achievement or acquiring a relationship or this, that, or the other. But real fulfillment comes from being able to authentically and genuinely appreciate whatever is right here. And that power of appreciation, I was not able to unlock in my life until I accessed the power of the heart. That in fact, this ability to create order in the heart, whether you use the M-Wave technology to do it or some other support in your life, opens the brain to be able to see and receive the abundance of what is right here, right now. So I've met people who've lived long lives but have lived short in them. And I've met people who've lived short lives but have lived great breadth and depth in them relative to the amount of heart that they bring and receive to that. In a moment here, I want to open up the call for any questions or any stories that anyone would like to share. But maybe we could just take a moment right now and focus attention on the area around the heart and ask your heart, what's something or someone that you've been taking for granted that you could appreciate more? Use the rocking chair test. I call it the rocking chair test because I imagine myself at 120 years old sitting in my rocking chair on a porch overlooking beautiful scenery and looking back on my life and saying, okay, what was really important? One of the tools we teach in the advanced heart math materials is a tool called taking the significance out or taking the drama out. This naturally happens for people with terminal illnesses. It's interesting, the call was supposed to be about how the heart can help you deal with a terminal illness, but in fact, what I'm suggesting is that terminal illnesses can help you find the heart. They can be a resource for that, because if you're about to die, and it's good to picture this whether you are or not, look at what's worrying you or upsetting you in this moment of your life and see, will that matter to me? How would I have wanted to spend this moment if I had known it was one of my last? That is an inkling or an indicator to how the heart wants. So go ahead and ask yourself now, in this moment right now, if you were in your rocking chair at 120 years old, would the things that are bothering you now bother you then? Do they really matter? What does really matter? What is really important? And how could you focus, harness your emotional energy, your thinking and your actions into paying attention to and honoring that, what really does matter. With that, the ability to do that, the power to do that, whether you're faced with a terminal illness or not, comes, in my experience, directly from the heart. The ability to line up your thinking, your feeling, your actions, your behavior with what matters most to you is what allows us to eke out the maximum fulfillment in life, to live, as we would say in heart math terms, our heart's blueprint, which is not about duration, but is about a quality of elation in the heart itself. So I went, after learning the HeartMath system and using the M-Wave, from being terrified of death and holding myself back from life because of it, to appreciating the role that impermanence has in our world, because knowing that this may be the last time that we get to speak with one another allows me to appreciate that experience all the more. It makes it sweeter. It makes me alive in it more. Imagine if you knew that you were going to live for 1,000 years. Well, if you were going to have the same breakfast cereal every morning for 1,000 years, you might take it a little for granted. It might not taste so good to you. Now imagine that tomorrow morning is the last chance you get to have your favorite breakfast. How does it taste to you then? Our goal here at Sierra is to support our clients to suck the marrow out of life and give of their whole heart to life for however long they are here. So at this point, I'd love to open up the call if anybody has any questions or anything that they would like to share. And make sure that you *6 your phone to unmute yourself if you do have a question or anything that you would like to share. And if you're listening to this as a recorded call, just to remind you that you can ask your questions or share your stories by calling us at Sierra at 310-581-1507 or emailing us. You can email me directly, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Sierra, F like fantastic, Y-E-R-A.com. This call has been recorded, and you'll be able to access it in 2 weeks, along with all the other HeartStart calls that we've recorded over time on a number of different topics, by going to www.fiera.com/HeartStart, that's all one word, heartstart.html. So that's fiera.com/HeartStart.html. And you can sign up to receive reminders for these free calls, as well as our free webinars. There's a beginner course online starting tomorrow evening, Tuesday, October 9th, and from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. The first class is always free, and you can get emails about those free webinars by signing up to receive those reminders on the lower right-hand corner of the Fiera.com homepage. And if anybody who's listening to this call tonight would like to be a part of the free webinar tomorrow evening, you can just shoot me an email to sheva@tiara.com, and I'll get you registered for that. Any questions or stories before we close up the call for tonight? I'm truly grateful to my client who established this topic or requested this topic, because it's easy for the heart to be misused at times, I suppose I might say, by me when I'm speaking on these calls about the power of the heart to change our lives, to improve our health, to get us where we want to go, to give us success, all the things that we fixate on. But at the end of the day, as one of my clients loves to say, it's not about us using the heart. It's about the heart expressing itself through us. And I think when we're no longer just applying heart intelligence to get better, when getting better is no longer an option, there's a remarkable and precious opportunity in that, because what is already right and perfect right now can reveal itself in our essential nature in the heart. It's right here for us in every moment. And without the pursuit of bettering ourselves, the best of who we are can reveal itself here now. And that's true for all of us. Yes.
Do you still have time for questions?
Sure.
I'm wondering how, if you have suggestions on how to best support somebody else who might be facing a terminal illness in accessing their heart.
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. Well, first of all, I wouldn't suggest supporting them to access their heart, because they know what they need. And so your only job with them is to access your own heart, rather than needing them to be any different from what they are. I remember when I was with my first series of patients that I was helping through the dying process, and one of my teachers said to me, there's no right or wrong way to die. So using the tools, Catherine, that you've already learned in the beginner workshop, neutral first and foremost, right? So that you're able to stay neutral with whatever that person is experiencing. That would be number one. So that they're free to do whatever they need to do and go wherever they need to go, because there's no right or wrong way to die. Whatever they're experiencing emotionally is valid, and whatever they go through physically is fine. That's neutrality, right? That neutrality you know how to access from the neutral tool of the beginner workshop. When my father was dying, he had a severe heart attack, and then they defibrillated and brought him back to life into a coma. And in the first few days of his coma, he was having constant seizures and coughing and choking. And so I held my father in my arms for 3 days straight while he was going through all that. And I could not have done it without the heart math tools, because I stayed neutral the whole time. I just stayed in neutral. Of course, my personality, my agenda was for him to live, right? But my love and care for him was to hold neutrality, for him to go wherever he needed to go and do whatever he needed to do with no judgment. So that's number one. Then number two, the quick coherence tool, as you know, Catherine, finding things to appreciate in the moment, and especially finding things to appreciate about your loved one. Love them while they're here. When you want them to use a heart math tool or go to their heart or be different than how they are, it's almost like an insidious judgment that we're not aware of. You should be handling this differently. Instead of taking that approach, drop it entirely and just use the tools yourself. Love and appreciate them for every ounce of moment that you get to be with them. Pour your love onto them. And then thirdly, and that in and of itself will change the dynamic with them, but thirdly, I can't imagine going through a dying process with someone without the use of the heart map communication tool that you learned in the beginner workshop, Catherine. You know, the reflective listening.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still there, Catherine?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can now, yeah. Thanks. So that you just keep listening to the essence of what they're saying. Keep hearing them. listen to their heart, listen to them deeply, using the essence level communication that you learned in that course. Being with someone who's dying and doing that reflective listening, I think, has been the process that's deepened me the most in my own heart in this lifetime. So it's a gift to yourself to do that, and you'd be amazed the gift that it is to them. Because when people are dying, everybody brings their own trip into it. They want them to handle it differently. They want them to do something about it. They feel bad. They're afraid. Everyone else is going through all their stuff and bringing that to the person who's dying as well. And it's fine to speak your truth and be vulnerable about that. It's essential to. But so powerful when you could actually be neutral and listen to the other person from that essential place. I remember reading a story about one of my first teachers in the heart, Chögyam Trungpa, who was one of the first Tibetan lamas to escape Tibet and flee the Chinese and came to the West and established Buddhism here in the West, very key influence in that process. And he lived a couple blocks from me in Nova Scotia. And he told a story of sitting with a 6 or 7 year old boy, I think, who was dying. And everybody was in such an uproar. Oh, this is a travesty. You know, he hasn't lived his life yet. He's so young. And Chögyam Trungpa entered the scene and sat down with the boy and held his hand. And all he said to the boy was, if you live, it's good. And if you die, it's also good. To be willing to just be with someone and be fine, be neutral with each person's blueprint and journey. That's a challenge of the heart, but it bears so much fruit when we're able to access the heart intelligence to that degree in such a stressful situation as being with a loved one who's dying. Did that answer your question, Catherine?
Yes, thank you.
That's a wonderful answer.
A beautiful question, very important. And Catherine, thank you for suggesting the topic for tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
My apologies for barking dogs and troubles on the set, so to speak. Any other questions or stories that anyone wants to share before we close up the call for tonight?
Chef, I just wanted to thank you for the content and also the reminder of Patrick. I had the pleasure of meeting Patrick, and he was so full of life. And this exercise that we just did, we've talked about that it's been hard for me to let go of certain things.
Yes.
And while the death transition is the ultimate letting go, and this one time being in the heart and imagining that, I really felt what it really was to let go and just be peaceful in that moment and embracing my daughter right here, and so thank you for that.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kansas. That's right. You were with us the day that he went into the hospital.
Yeah.
Death is a great teacher to show us that life is not what we think it's about. And when we're willing to drop what we think life is about, then we can feel it in the heart. Thank you all so much for getting this heart start to our week on this Monday, October 8th. I look forward to rejoining you next Monday and encourage you. This week begins a new cycle of Sierra classes, so if anyone's interested and eligible to do intermediate or advanced work, definitely get in touch with me. There are exquisite tools and resources that we really want to make available to you to suck the marrow of life while we're here. Lots of love, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us tonight. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheva.